and amen. I want to preach out of Luke 15 simply on the prodigal's father this morning. The father is prodigal. We hear a lot about the prodigal son. We're very familiar with him, but I wonder many times are we very familiar with the father? This text has been expounded for centuries and for years. Matter of fact, one of the great writers said that this is the pearl of parables. Many parables in the Bible, but he felt like that this was the pearl of parables. There was so much here that God wanted to teach us. And so we see here the prodigal's father. What do we find out about the father in this text? Can I tell you, he's a good God this morning. And he is ever faithful, and I bless him and I praise him. And on this Father's Day, I want to say, God, thank you. Happy Father's Day. I'm glad you are my father. And so here in this text, the prodigal's father, notice first of all the father's heritage. The father's heritage. In verse number 11, he had a legacy. The Bible said that there's a certain man, he had two sons. He was a family man. Thank God for the family. Now, we don't see the mother in the pages, but I guarantee the prodigal had a mother. Amen. Because God designed that a man and a woman would have children, not men and men or women and women. But yet, God is a family man. And can I tell you, America needs to get back to the family. Poll was taken this week, and that woke crazy crowd, they think the family's not important. But look around here today, the family's pretty important. Without a family, none of us would be here. And without God, our Father, we wouldn't be in the family of God this morning. And so certainly we see the Father's heritage, the Father's legacy. He had two sons. He was a family man. I love family. Thank God for the family. And oh, I wished America would get back honed in on the Bible and the family. Oh, the father's heritage. We see the father's legacy. But in verse 12, we see the father's living. The Bible said that the son came and asked, and he divided unto them his living. The father had worked hard to provide for a family. I still believe it's right that the father would be the head of the family. He is to work and provide and protect that family. And so, young men, if you don't have a job, get you a job. There's more opportunities in America today than it's ever been in this hour. And so, in order to go further in this life, you got to apply yourself. Put Jesus as your Savior, God as your Father. Work hard, and God will bless you for your efforts. We see here the father's heritage. We see his legacy and his living. He divided unto them his living. He simply shared what he had. I'm thankful that I had an earthly father, an earthly dad. He didn't have a lot, but he would share with us what that he had. Many of us in this life, our parents didn't have much, but we had a lot of things that money could not buy. I'm glad I had a mom and daddy that loved me and provided for me. Tore my back end up when I needed it. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. Buddy, you're talking about taking time out. There wasn't no time out where I was raised. They'd take time out to tear the back porch down with you. And so, but I knew who my father was, and I respected him. The father's heritage, we see his legacy, we see his living. But notice in verse 28 and 31, Brother Adam, there's the father's loyalty. You say, why do you say that? Well, he had an elder brother that was there at the house. Even though the elder brother stayed home, he was a long way from home because he got angry when the younger son came back home and the father came out and entreated him. And look what he said, the father's loyalty. Verse 31, he told him, he said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. What a statement. What a statement we have with our Heavenly Father. Everything he has, we have. If we need it, we've got a God big enough this morning. We've got a Father loyal enough, and He sees about all of His children. So we see the prodigal's father. We see his heritage. But then secondly, not only do we see in our text the father's heritage, but we see the father's hurt. Verse 13, the younger son came to him, asked him for his inheritance or what falls to him. And verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey. The father's hurt, not many days after. You know, I don't know why when God has entrusted us with so much, we have a nature to turn from Him and go the opposite direction. Can I tell you, God has not blessed us to take us from Him, but He's blessed us to draw us near Him. And so here this family has come up under a very godly father. We see this father's hurt. Well, preacher, how do you see that? In verse 12, I see the hurt of demanding. The younger son said, Father, give me the portions of good that follow to me. Can I tell you, we better be careful what we ask for in our praying, because he got exactly what he asked the father for. How many times has God rejected a prayer, and I sure am thankful he didn't answer that prayer. Can I tell you, this teaches us something about praying this morning, that God, if it's your will, then let your will be done. Father, don't give me what I think. Give me what's best for me and what you know is best for me. You'll notice he said, give me that that follows to me. Can I tell you, God's storehouse is way above us. And we better look around this morning and realize our blessings didn't come up, friend, but they fell down upon us. Because there's a heavenly Father that owns it. I look up this morning. Boy, even though I'm weak in mind today, feel a little discouraged and depressed and down, can I tell you, when I look up, my Father owns everything. And He's let a whole lot fall down upon me in this life. And I want to be grateful for His blessings that come down. He is a good God this morning. And so the father's hurt. He had the hurt of demanding. This young boy, for some reason or another, thought his father owed him something. Can I tell you, God don't owe us nothing but hell this morning. But by His love and grace and mercy, He's let the blessings of God fall upon us. Oh, my goodness, the father's hurt. The hurt of demanding. Young people, this world don't owe you nothing. I hear a lot of people say, well, they owe it to me. No, they don't. No, 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 no. No. You've got to work for it. You've got to work for it. And so here the hurt of demanding, give me the portions of good that follow to me. That's mine. Me, I'll preach at my house. I've heard folks say, well, Daddy, Mama, what you going to leave me? I said, we ain't leaving nothing. We're going to spend everything before we get out of here. Somebody say amen. What I deserve. Now, I must say my children deserve a lot to live with me. My wife deserves a whole lot more than what she's got because she's lived with me. The father's hurt, the hurt of demanding. But then watch this in verse 12, the hurt of dividing. And he divided to them his living. Look, he gave to both of them. No doubt he probably gave them an equal amount or things that was equivalent, but I think the hurt of the father when he began to divide things up from the request of his son. No doubt when he was dividing these things up, he knew where it would take his boy. And can I tell you, God knows everything. There's nothing that surprises God. You've never surprised God, because God knows the beginning from the ending. God knows all about us. But this hurt of demanding, I demand you to give me. The hurt of dividing, as the father divided it up, you know it hurt him deeply. But I think in verse 13, there's the herd of departing. The Bible said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. I want to say something. Lord, thank you for your blessings, but if your blessings is going to take me from you, I don't need them and I don't want them. It didn't take him long to forget where his bread was buttered. Isn't that a lot like life? As God begins to bless us, we begin to accumulate things. Even though we know it, we don't think about it. It's like we've arrived or we've accomplished or we don't need God anymore. But we see where this thought process takes us. The father's hurt, the hurt of demanding, the hurt of dividing, the hurt of departing. He'd given him his all and he felt like that he didn't need that anymore in his life. No doubt this young man was raised in a godly environment. No doubt he had heard the scriptures. No doubt probably they had a prayer altar. They knew about the workings of God in their home. But for some reason, this young man wanted to disconnect from the father. And don't you know that brought the father great hurt? How many times have we hurt God by the direction that we've took? You know, I've noticed in my life, just my life, when I do wrong, I really don't need anybody to tell me that I've done wrong, because the Spirit of God that lives in me, when I grieve Him, that saddens the heart of God. And that hurts me so when I offend the Holy Ghost that lives in me. The prodigal's father, his heritage is hurt. Then I want you to look at the father's hope. The father had hope. I believe. You'll notice the Bible said, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey in a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The father's hope. Now we see the son was willful. The son was wandering. The son was wasteful, but then the son become wanting. The Bible said he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him in the fields to feed swine, and he would have gladly filled his belly with the husk swine, that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him, and when he came to himself, yeah. The father's hope. I want to say these three things about the father's hope. I think there was the hope of investment. No doubt the father said, surely I put something in him that he will remember. You know, your children may go way out yonder. But I want to read this text to you. It's something that can never be taken away from our children. In Proverbs 22:6, no matter where your child is today, or no matter where you and I go today, in Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know the raising, the investments that my earthly dad put in me. It's went with me all of my life. Even when I was a young man, out chasing this world, doing things I'm ashamed of today, I could never really get out of the way of my daddy's authority and raising that we had in my house. A lot of times you may think your children aren't listening to anything that you've had to say or do, but I believe the father's hope, he had hope of investment. Something that he had put in them would come back down the road. Mom and daddy, just keep putting it in your children. Just keep being good to them, loving them, bringing them to church, lifting your hands toward heaven, realizing where your help comes from. Because those investments that we're putting in our children, they go a very long way. And so he had the hope of investment. Surely what I put in him will come back to help him. Then the father's hope, not only the hope of investment, but I believe there was a hope of information. He hoped to hear from his son soon. I began to ponder this thought as the father divided in them all of his living. Not many days later, the young boy ventured out. He left the father. And he went out and he found a very dirty world. He found a very cruel world. No man would give to him. You know why? Because no man had nothing to give. Only God could give him what he needed. And so here, no doubt, there was the hope of information. He would love to hear from his child. Nearly 45 years ago, I left Murfreesboro, Tennessee, put everything in a pickup truck and come to Bowdoin, Georgia. Man, I was a young man then, 18 years old. Me and Renee was getting married, and I'll never forget my mom and dad out on the porch, Brother Lee, looking at me when I pulled out of that driveway, and this is what they said: "You call us. Let us know how you're doing." And I wonder how many times the Father wished that he could hear from us. No matter where we are, he would love to hear from his children. There was the hope of investment, the hope of information. I'd love to hear something about him, how he's doing. I wish he would just call me. And I want to tell you young people something today. If your earthly parents are still living, then you better put your best foot forward to contact them. Let them know you love them. How many times now, as older, I look back, wished I had my parents just to sit down with and say a few things. Time passes, the hope of information. But then I think this, lastly, about the Father's hope. Not only his hope of investment, the hope of information, hearing from him, but simply the hope of interruption. No doubt, he was wanting his son to come to an end of himself. Come to the end of himself. He was hoping that life would be interrupted some way, somehow. And can I tell you something? In this hope of interruption, he was certainly hoping that he would learn something away from the Father's house that he couldn't even learn in his Father's house. Sometimes we have to go through things to learn them. And you know something? God will let us learn them. Did you know that God will let us act crazy if we want to? Did you know God will let you leave out? He did the prodigal. And so the father of his heritage, his hurt, his hope. But let's look at the father's heart. Father's heart in verse 20. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, he arose, came to his father. Father's heart. Verse 20, watch this, Mom and Daddy. The father didn't go after him. He did not send him more money. And a lot of times, our children, and us included, we're not going to get help till it costs us something. Till we realize there's nobody in this world can help us but God. And God did not go in after him. The father did not go and give him money to keep spending in the hog pen. He let him come to himself. He let him come to the end of his chain, and it's a hard process. It's hard to let your child learn some things. You know, now we're, and what people think of this or not, it's just the way it is, we're heavily involved in our grandchildren. You know, they have a mom and daddy, and what they say goes. But I want to say this, as these children are young, I see things ahead of them that's going to bring them hurt. And I've told them two or three times about it, but until they learn it, they're self. So it is with you and I. And so the father's heart. The father's heart of letting, he didn't go after him, yet I believe he knew where he was. And can I tell you, when you and I go out there, the father knows where we are. and the investments that He's put in our life, it has a tendency to make us turn and look back to the goodness and the grace of God. And can I tell you, the Father's heart of letting, but verse 20, the Father's heart of looking. I wonder how many evenings He was looking that way. The Bible said, but when He was yet a great way off, His Father saw Him. Well, why did He see Him? Because He was looking for Him. Ain't you glad we got a Father that's a looking for us this morning? Oh, I'm glad He's looking for His children to come back into that fellowship with Him. The Father's heart, the Father's letting, the Father's looking, but the Father's loving. In verse 20, He arose and came to His Father. When He was yet a great way off, His Father saw Him and had compassion, ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him. Now this is where I'm a little different. The Father did not chew Him out, did He? I don't even know if He wanted to. I get to thinking the times that I went out there, He should have beat me.
Yes, sir.
He should have kicked me. But He didn't. He loved me. And the Bible said this word, and He had compassion on me.
Yes, sir.
Our church will never go any further than where our compassion goes. I believe in doing right, living right to the best of our ability, but I sure am glad we've got a God that's full of compassion. And let's say one of the greatest families we have, what if they go out in this world and absolutely gets beat to death and they come back? Woe be the one that looks and says they get what they deserve. What do we get for what we deserve? Mercy, goodness, and compassion. I want y'all to come and sing that song, Miss Emily, that y'all sang. Father's heart, His letting, His looking. Child of God, let me tell you something. Let me tell you by experience. The Lord will let you. He'll let you get out there. But when you learn the greatest principle of life, when you learn who you are and how capable you are of what you're doing. I heard this said one time, and my wife reminded me of it. This person said, I cannot believe that they've done such a thing. We better see who we are this morning.
Yes, sir.
Because without the grace of God, we'll all be out yonder. Hey, Brother Randall, you found yourself in Hog Pen. Remember when I was pastoring down in Lighthouse with you and Miss Karen? Y'all remember Preacher Gary running that hog farm? I'll never forget this. I just found me a deal. Found me a deal on a pair of real light cowboy boots. Them things was pretty. I don't know why I wore them, Brother Tim, because they'd cripple you. You wore them. But I went and paid Brother Gary a visit. I've told him about it a lot, and we laughed. Pulled up to a hog farm. I'd never been to one. You know, in the country, we'd kill 6-8 hogs a year. That's all I knew about. But I'd never seen hundreds. I got out of the car. I said, Lord have mercy. That is bad stuff. Well, I walked in this little parlor. Had a small ceiling in it. Had heat lamps. All these little mama hogs was raising these little pigs with these heat lamps. And when I walked on that place, I've never in my life. And I looked at what I was standing in. I come back home and Renee did this. I walked in, you know what she said? My goodness, where have you been? Well, preacher, what about the cowboy boots? Well, I stood and stuffed about right there, and it put a big mark on them. You say, what'd you do? I throwed them away. And I got to thinking, when I passed the doors of this church going home, and I see so many people cast to the side.
Yes, sir.
Don't have a friend of their name. And I get to thinking, at times, Brother Mike, where I found myself away from God in a very lonely place, smelling real bad. But when my heart turns to him and starts back, he says, come here. Come here. He ought to took a stick and beat me. He said, come here. He runs and he kisses us. What compassion, what love. And so I close with this. They're going to sing, not only the Father's hurt, the Father's heart, but the Father's happiness. His child was home.
Yeah.
Boy, it's good for you children to be home. I love little boys. Brother Philip come by the house last night. He called, said, I got something to bring you, preacher. And they said, who was that? I said, it's Brother Philip. I said, I hope he's got the little boy. She said, me too. Brother Philip, you knocked on the door and our heart jumped because we could see the little ones. As little Carter and Cash strapped in the van. Y'all ought to see the inside of that van. That's another story. They got out. Isn't it a joy to have a father that loves us so? Y'all sang this morning, I want to say, Lord, happy Father's Day. He loves us. Maybe you need to come around and tell him that you love him. Whatever you need this morning, you come. I'm glad he has compassion. Y'all sang this morning. I bless him and I praise him for his goodness.
Clouds are disappearing.
Would you come?
Skies are turning blue.
What you need today, it'll be at the Father's house.
Only just a while. Go. Thank you. my soul has been restored in this healing field of grace, where all is quite
come this morning.